check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.
It seems impossible to track the many climate horrors deconstructing climate science in the United States. Elon's algorithms scan vast government databases, many confidential, to find any mention of words like climate change, warming, or extreme weather. They're hunting down, almost like criminals, climate people and projects to defund, fire, and delete them. Not since McCarthy, in my opinion, has repression of academia and science hit these abysmal lows, and it may go lower. Romany Webb is the deputy director of the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law. Romany is a research scholar at the Columbia Law School. She is an adjunct associate professor of climate and senior advisor on climate science at the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. From Columbia University, Romany Webb, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks for having me.
What recent actions to delete or suppress climate science stand out to you?
I think what we're seeing in this second Trump administration is really a repeat of what we saw the first time around, but with much more significant impacts. The effort to undermine and discredit climate scientists and climate science is much more widespread and much more well-organized than we saw during the first Trump administration. And so already in just the first month since President Trump has taken office, we have seen widespread efforts to remove climate scientists from government positions, to block funding for climate-related research, to remove references to climate change from documents, and to limit access to climate data. And all of it is really concerning and really harmful.
The Sabin Center launched a silencing science tracker. What does it do, and are there already silenced cases to report?
Yes, we launched the silencing science tracker during President Trump's first term because we saw early on in his first term a number of attacks on climate and other scientists. Those attacks were being reported in the media, but on quite a sporadic basis, you know, one case here, one case there. And it was difficult from those one-off media reports to get a sense of the true magnitude of the attacks on science. And so the Silencing Science Tracker was really intended to help with that. We compiled all of those different attacks that were being reported in the media in one place. And we recorded during the first Trump administration about 110 different actions taken by the administration to undermine or interfere with scientific research, communication, and education. We continued to maintain the Silencing Science Tracker during the Biden administration. We recorded a few anti-science actions taken by the Biden administration, but nowhere near the number that we saw during the first Trump administration. Now that Trump is back in office, we are again very busy. We've already recorded over 20 anti-science actions taken by his administration. And we've also, interestingly, seen somewhat of a ramp up in anti-science actions being taken in a number of states, seemingly suggesting that some states may feel sort of emboldened to further attack scientists and undermine science in this new environment.
According to Reuters, newly appointed administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, seeks to claw back $20 billion in climate funding. A lot of that comes through the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. It turns out your group at the Sabin Center set up a tracker also for the IRA billions. What have you heard about a clawback, and has it started?
Yeah, we have seen attempts to freeze federal funding for climate-related research and other programs. Actually, on his first day in office, President Trump signed an executive order that directed federal agencies to pause funding. That pause has been paused by the courts, but there are ongoing reports of the freeze remaining in place, of agencies not allocating funds as they should be. And these are, in many cases, funds that are covered by binding award agreements. So the federal government has entered into a contract with a NGO or with a research organization or with a private company to provide them with funding and is now failing to make payments that are due under that contract.
Now, Emile Bove, the acting Deputy Attorney General, and Ed Martin, Trump's nominee for D.C. U.S. Attorney, just ordered the U.S. Attorney's Office to open an investigation. They want a justification to grab back money from private bank accounts. And to her credit, longtime criminal prosecutor in the D.C. office, Denise Chung, refused and resigned. Why is this case so important for the civil liberties of all Americans?
Yeah, that particular case involved an attempt to claw back funds that had been awarded under a program that was established by the Inflation Reduction Act called the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. It's a program that's being administered by the Environmental Protection Agency. It's actually the largest sort of funding program in the Inflation Reduction Act and would have supported and hopefully still will support widespread investments all across the country in clean energy development. There was this effort to pressure staff at the Department of Justice to open a criminal investigation into the contracting that was done around this program. But, you know, all the signs are, and there is no evidence whatsoever to suggest there was any impropriety in those contracts. So it really does sound and look a lot like a witch hunt.
Trump and his followers already threatened federal funding for universities that don't follow his demands, like for DEI. And some universities have removed the term climate change from projects to maintain funding. There you are at the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law. Are you concerned about Columbia and your own future?
Now, at the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law, we are committed to tracking this administration's actions to undermine climate protection and to developing legal strategies to continue to advance action on climate change despite the federal administration. So we continue to work on, for example, state and local actions that can be taken. We continue to support private sector efforts to advance action on climate change and also continue to work on climate law and policy development overseas.
Well, you also work with journalism concerning climate, and I want to tell you that Radio EcoShock has interviewed dozens of scientists from big government agencies like NASA and NOAA. Now I'm afraid to send them an email in case it helps the cut. With my studio in Canada, scientists have to go through a puzzling set of hoops to get permission to speak on radio. It looks like our listeners will have to depend on scientists from Canada and Europe and the rest of the world. Is America going to go dark for a while on climate change?
I think that we are seeing an effort by the Trump administration to silence climate scientists, particularly within the federal government, and also to restrict and in some cases entirely block access to climate-related information. But it's not just climate change that is in the administration's crosshairs. A whole range of environmental and public health-related information is being targeted. You know, we have seen major staff reductions at the CDC and other public health agencies. We are seeing efforts to restrict those agencies from publishing information about public health issues. And so there is a real effort from the administration to limit access to that information. We are seeing other groups step up. There has been a large effort to archive information that was made available during the Biden administration. There are other groups that are looking to fill the gaps left by this federal withdrawal. But it is a really, we are seeing some really damaging and disappointing actions being taken.
Of course, the great climate purge does not stop extreme rains from drowning more American homes. Strange wildfires, rising seas, hellish heat, the whole works. It's going to keep damaging lives and the economy more than ever. Do you have advice on how to function in such a disconnect of silencing during the storm? Are there resources we all should know about?
Yeah, I think there are a number of actions that can be taken to continue to advance action on climate change, even despite what we are seeing from the federal administration. We have seen in the past, even in states that are, or in administrations that are not eager to address climate change. They are often more open to addressing extreme weather events and to taking steps to enhance climate resilience, though they may not refer to it as climate resilience. I think we also have a real opportunity to advance action at the state and local levels to provide and help fill some of those gaps that we're seeing at the federal level.
And Romani Webb, what is notable in the legal front to protect climate knowledge and action? Are there particular cases that you're looking at?
Yeah, we have seen a number of cases being brought by state attorneys general and other groups challenging the pause on federal funding, which is so important for advancing climate and other scientific research. Those cases have had some early wins. Judges in multiple courts issuing temporary restraining orders to pause those pauses. The litigation still has to play out, but those are really important cases that have been taken. We've also seen cases challenging the firing of certain agency staff. I think we will see more of them in coming weeks and months. Those cases also really important to help to preserve and protect the federal workforce.
Frankly, a lot of us are worried the law isn't going to work. The Supreme Court is stacked in favor of almost anything Trump does. The Justice Department, the Attorney General, and the FBI seem to be in Trump's pocket. How will you and thousands of other American lawyers who do care about this try to save what we can?
I think one of the unique roles that a place like the Sabin Center, which is an academic think tank housed at Columbia University, as you said, one of the unique roles we can play is really raising awareness of the actions that the administration is taking and providing an impartial assessment of their legality. We try to do that in a number of different forums. We have, as you mentioned, a number of online resources, databases, and trackers, including one that we call the Climate Backtracker that is recording actions the Trump administration is taking to undo climate protections and climate regulations. We also publish and have already been publishing a lot of short articles and papers that analyze the actions that are being taken and lay out legal arguments for challenging those actions. We think that's a really important role to play in terms of educating not only decision makers, but also the broader public so that they really understand the issues in these cases and can get engaged and involved.
And where can we find those resources?
All of our resources are available via our website, which is climate.law.columbia.edu. And we have a very active blog where we publish short articles regularly. We also have various white papers and publications and other reports that we publish. And we have a whole suite of online tools and databases that people can access, all freely available for use.
Okay, now this next direction might seem a little dark. We hope it doesn't come to this, but I have to say Trump and Musk and his followers are strongly criticizing the courts. And in the past, countries have attacked their own lawyers and judiciary. I mean, lawyers have been jailed or disappeared in China, Turkey, the Philippines, Saudi Arabia. If the U.S. legal system gets in the way of this administration, is it far-fetched to think the whole legal system might be attacked by the new government?
I think that we are seeing some early examples of that. We have seen individual judges being criticized and, you know, there being social media posts and other statements being made questioning their qualifications or suggesting that they're, you know, making biased or impartial decisions in some way. So it's not outside the realm of possibility, but there are, you know, many safeguards built into the system. It does, though, highlight the importance of remaining engaged in the space. I think it is very easy for people to see this sort of deluge of information and to feel overwhelmed by the myriad of actions that are being taken. But it's really important to remain engaged and to push back against those actions. And that's why I sort of emphasize those various resources and other things that we're making available to help people do that. Because in engaged populace and people willing to push back, it's much more difficult for those sorts of things to happen.
There are some activist lawyers. I'm hoping to see a lot more. There are over a million lawyers listed by the American Bar Association. And I can recall the lawyers' movement in Pakistan some years ago. Thousands of lawyers, clerks, judges, they closed the courts. They marched in the streets in their black robes to protest the suspension of the Chief Justice by the army dictator. At what point do lawyers gather to protect science and medicine and the rule of law against what would be a sovereign president?
Yeah, I think we are already seeing lawyers stepping up and taking action in this fight. We have seen statements published by the American Bar Association and other associations of lawyers. We have seen, as you alluded to earlier, members of the Department of Justice really taking a stand against certain Trump administration actions, and we are seeing an increasing number of cases being brought.
Have you seen similar anti-science action by the government in Australia, or is that country's climate science community safe for now?
Certainly, we have seen examples of anti-science action being taken by many governments around the world in the past, in Australia, in Canada, and in other countries as well. Also here in the United States, you know, the Trump administration is not the only one to have, you know, questioned or sought to undermine scientific research that doesn't align with its agenda. I will say, though, that what's unique about the Trump administration is really the lengths it has gone to and just how widespread those attacks have been.
And as we wrap up here, what are your priorities and what could you tell our listeners who are pretty shocked and worried about what is going on here?
We at the Sabin Center will, as I said, continue to track the Trump administration's actions. You will be seeing regular, I expect, updates to our online resources, including our Silencing Science tracker, as the administration takes more of these anti-science actions. We will also be, you know, evaluating, as I say, the legality of those actions, but also looking at where there are opportunities to continue to advance climate action despite the hostility from the federal administration. And so that includes opportunities to continue to make important progress on climate change at the local level, through U.S. states, and also internationally.
From the Sabin Center for Climate Change Law at Columbia University, we have been speaking with Deputy Director Romani Webb. You can find links to the Sabin Center and very serious climate suppression news we just talked about in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Romani, thank you so much for spending time with our listeners.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. We're out of time. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring about what is going on in this crazy world.